Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Ladies and gentlemen, Sports Radio 810 is taking over the Power and Light District for the Miller Lite Fan Fest presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Best time of the year, buddy.
We are going to have so much fun. Of course, your MCs will be me and Nick Buckley right here.
Tell us about it, Nick Buckley.
We're going to have dance contests, limbo contests. We're going to have Jake. We're trying to decide whether we should have a wing-eating contest or a submarine sandwich-eating contest, or both.
He's gonna eat a meatball hero.
So I feel like you at least need to conduct that and be a judge.
Sure.
Because some people, like, especially with the wings, you got to get the meat off the bone.
Right.
All the meat
and
off the bone.
And that's why I'd go with the sub.
But
because
the point
you know,
is,
you just got to get it all down.
You don't.
Yeah, geez, get that whole sub and all the whole foot long. Happen.
The point is, you don't have to compete because those days are behind you.
Right.
But we would like you to be an expert judge. Like, hey, this is what's going on here.
I can still eat.
Let me tell you what's happening.
I could probably still eat.
We're going to do the.
Have Jake sing the national anthem.
Nope.
The blindfolded free throw contest.
Uh-huh.
I just repeat of the limbo is what we need.
Karaoke contest.
Or dance off.
Lip sync contest. I'm gonna have a best beard contest, which I've already won, unfortunately, for everyone out there.
I'm looking for the best tiger ears.
I think you've already named that winner. Push-up contest, we're going to do, and this is, I mean, everyone keeps asking for this one. What's in Curtis Siebold's pocket contest, and that has to take place after 10 p.m., but that's fine. We could do that probably on Friday. Nate, you're going to be leading that one, so you have to, and then you fish out whatever's in there, and then, you know, and but the point is, then everyone wins. There really is no loser. Like, everybody wins that one.
Hello.
Right. Exactly. And then we're going to have the entire sales staff from Union Broadcasting. We're going to line them up, and they're going to have to name all the shows that are on Sports Radio 810 WHB, so clearly there will be no winner there. But right now we're going to go to CJ Moore to talk college basketball. Is that all right with you over there? You got a friend.
I
know sporting loss, but you know what? Act like you care about the college basketball.
I do care about the college basketball.
Give me some emotion and some energy.
No, there's something actually very specific I want to talk to CJ Moore about by reading some of his tweets from over the weekend.
CJ just hung up now.
Oh,
we heard that.
Darn it.
No, he's still there. CJ Moore, contributor at The Athletic and Bleacher Report. CJ, does it excite you that Nate Buchanan has several questions for you based on tweets that you sent out over the weekend?
I'm trying to think in my head, what did I do wrong?
Right.
No. It's not.
What did you do right, maybe, is the question you should ask.
All right, buddy.
But before we get into Kansas, again, when someone's right, I like them to tout their opinion and strut around like a peacock. So let's see those feathers, CJ Moore. You have been pro Bruce Weber for the last couple of years since we've started having you on the show. And now Bruce Weber. They finished in fourth place. Looks like they're in the NCAA tournament. They got a kid on the first team of the All-Big 12 team. They got a kid on the second team of the All-Big 12 team.
Everybody's coming back.
Yeah, everyone's coming back. I think that's pretty good if you're a K-State fan, right? But Nate said they're still K-State fans. They're not very happy at all. What say you, CJ Moore?
Oh, I'm sure they're still K-State fans. They're not very happy at all. That's just kind of their thing when it comes to Bruce Weber. I caught a little bit of your conversation with Sam when I was taking my kid to daycare this morning, and the whole thing just kind of exhausts me. but he, you know, he's done a good job with this team. He's done a good job with this group. I think, you know, Sam was right that the lowest point was probably when Marcus Foster left, and I think both sides are a little bit to blame for that, but I think Marcus just kind of had to go to turn his life around, turn his basketball career around, and Bruce has built it back up, and they're in a pretty good spot right now. So he's not Frank Martin, but he's a pretty good basketball coach.
So actually, the question that I wanted to ask you about was in relation to K-State and Oklahoma State, because you tweeted out yesterday, Oklahoma State won half its conference games against KU, Texas Tech, and West Virginia. Those are the top three teams in the Big 12 standings. Those are the teams by far with the best RPIs, I think, in the Big 12. So those would be those quadrant one wins that we keep hearing about. And you said, interested to see what the committee does with that resume. I find it to be a fascinating case study, CJ, because it's the exact opposite of K-State. K-State has no bad losses, pretty much. They beat all the teams below them in the league. I think they did have the loss at Oklahoma, but I don't think that'd be considered a bad loss necessarily. Mm-hmm. But they didn't beat anybody good, above them in the league. And they don't have any of those wins you just talked about. Whereas Oklahoma State doesn't have as good of a record overall. They've lost some games that are worse than K-State's, but they've got those wins. How do you think they stack up, and how do you think in the mind of the selection committee, because that's all that really matters, how do they evaluate those two very different scenarios?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you hear so much about the quadrant one wins being of importance. And I will say, you look up and down Oklahoma State's record or schedule, and they don't really have any bad losses either, because I don't know that there is a bad loss in the Big 12 other than maybe Iowa State. And I think they swept Iowa State. So it's kind of, but it's just a strange, how they put this together is strange in that they beat all the teams they probably shouldn't have beat and lost all the teams they're probably, mostly equal with. And I think when I look at it, I think that K-State should just be a little bit peg above, because everybody plays the same schedule in the league. And at the end of the day, K-State had more wins in the league than Oklahoma State did. So I would probably put K-State a little bit ahead of Oklahoma State, but it'll just, because they put so much importance on these quad win wins, or at least we think they're going to. I mean, this is a new system. We don't really know how they're going to operate. The bracketologists are just trying to make assumptions based off the knowledge that they have. And I think it'll maybe be a different looking results based off, a lot of times the bracketologists are really, really close and do a pretty good job of predicting. But because kind of the criteria has changed, I don't know that they'll have the most accurate brackets this year.
So how many teams do you think the Big 12 will end up with? I know there's work to be done for a few teams here in Kansas City, but what's your best guess?
I'm going to say 8. Is my best guess. Like somebody gets left out. Maybe Baylor or Texas would be my best guess on who gets left out. But I don't know. I mean, they could conceivably get 9.
So with Texas, they're coming off that overtime win against West Virginia. And we were, we're excited because Wednesday night, that's been a
dead night. The games are actually good.
Right, that's been a dead night so many years. You get Bedlam, and then you get Texas and Iowa State. So Iowa State's going to bring the fans. Texas needs to get another win, and then Bedlam is just a good basketball game, so that's pretty damn good for Wednesday night, man.
Yeah, and Iowa State is probably like the best 4-14 conference team you're ever going to see. Like, they've actually got some dudes. I think their future is pretty bright. They've had a lot of injuries and stuff like that. I mean, they're really young, but that's not a bad basketball team. So, that's going to be a really, really fun night, and obviously Texas has to win that game. Like, if Texas went out and lost to Iowa State, then there's probably your team that gets left out.
Well, they're not going to have the fans behind them. That's going to be a hostile environment for Texas, so that might even things out.
Yeah, for sure. I'm interested to see how if Iowa State travels like they always do, considering they are 4-14. I'm going to bet they do, but that would be pretty wild if they have the fan support they've had these last couple of years with that team. With the record they have this year, that'll be kind of one little side thing to watch on Wednesday.
Yeah, my two predictions on that. Number one, Texas will bring the same group of old men who wear the burnt orange button-down shirts and the white ball caps.
They welcome always to sit Kansas in that little City, group. Sirs.
I just picture them all being like oil tycoons that, they're just, let's go to Kansas City again and, sit there and watch the team play. And then on the flip side, I think that Iowa State will travel like crazy down here because they, and I say this, I know I have some fun at the Iowa State fans' expense, but this is ultimate respect as a fan base to me. they support their team win or lose, man. I mean, like, you know, there are a lot of fans out there that once their team starts losing, they stop showing up. That's not Iowa State fans. And if anything, I think they might turn it up a notch because they don't have postseason to prepare for this year. This is their postseason. I think they're going to, and I hope and I think they're gonna really represent here on Wednesday night.
Yeah, you're probably right. And, I mean, you look at it as it's kind of going to be like an Iowa State home game. And when they played them at home this year, they lost in overtime to Texas. So it could be a pretty good game considering Texas is going to be playing like a road game with their six Mac Browns that are in attendance.
All right, CJ, let's talk about Kansas. They lose to Oklahoma State. And so let's start there. Bill Self, and obviously he was exaggerating, but said, forget about the number one seed now. They're not even on the board. Well, they're still a number one seed, but do you think they're in danger of losing that now that they come into Kansas City off of a loss to Oklahoma State?
Well, potentially, because they have to play. They're probably going to have to play Oklahoma State again, and that just seems to be the team they can't figure out. So, if they were to lose that first round game, then they probably do fall off the one line, you would think. But I think if they win a couple games in Kansas City, even if they just get to the championship game, or maybe even if they win their first one, they still are going to be in a pretty good spot as far as where they're going to land in the bracket. Maybe the one line, but no worse than the two.
So here's a scenario then for you. Let's play scenario, Stephen.
Say no.
With the team like Kansas, where Devontae Graham's playing 40 minutes a game and Svi Mykhailiuk's playing 38 minutes a game, and they need both of those guys to win.
Yeah.
Would you rather have those guys have to play three straight games in Kansas City with that type of a minute log and get the one seed, or bow out early so that they can rest and get ready for the tournament and fall down to the two line? What would be the better scenario if you're Kansas?
It's tough because I think you do want to ride into the tournament with momentum, and this team has been such a they need confidence, and when they have confidence, they look like another team. I mean, when they don't have confidence, they look really average. So I would say you probably want them playing well and back on track going into the NCAA tournament. Like, you need C hitting shots. You need Udoka to play well. Because if you look at the other day, excuse me, Svi barely shot, didn't have a great game. And then Udoka, I thought it was his worst game in months. Like, he just didn't seem to be really engaged. He just wasn't all there. So I'm probably going to answer that they want to be looking good going into the tournament, but I definitely understand where you're coming from, saying rest might not be such a bad thing.
So I mentioned Bedlam, and that's who Kansas will play, the winner of Oklahoma State. Wednesday night, what do you expect from that game? I wouldn't be shocked if it goes either way. And clearly, Oklahoma State has been a thorn in KU's side, but I would expect if they get another crack at them at Sprint Center, I think Kansas wins and wins big. What about Oklahoma coming into this tournament? What on earth do you expect from them?
I don't know. I mean, they not a lot. Like, they just haven't looked good except for one game in the last. They did beat Iowa State this on Friday night. So, but that was a home game against the worst team in the league. So, their only good win recently is Kansas State, and I think that pressure defense gives them problems. And Oklahoma State pressures you about as good as anybody. So I kind of expect Oklahoma State to win that game. Like, I won't be shocked if Oklahoma wins, but if I have to pick the game, I'm probably picking the Cowboys right now. Although Oklahoma State seems to look otherworldly against Kansas, and they kind of come back to earth against everybody else. But I think I like Oklahoma State to win that one.
So if you're Kansas, would you rather get Oklahoma State again and get another crack at them, or because they look otherworldly against Kansas, would you rather take on Oklahoma?
Oh, Kansas would definitely rather play Oklahoma, I think. I mean, it's a much easier matchup. Oklahoma doesn't play defense. I think that's much more of a breeze than playing Oklahoma State. Like, playing Oklahoma State, because they guard you so hard, I mean, you can beat that defense, but you have to be really, really focused and engaged. And it's just kind of exhausting because of the pressure they apply you. So I think Kansas. So from a rest standpoint and from a challenge standpoint, we'd probably definitely rather play Oklahoma.
So this brings up a point I was thinking about when I was watching the Cincinnati versus Wichita State game yesterday. I thought Cincinnati, that was the first time I've really watched them closely this year. Mm-hmm. And their defense, man, was really impressive to me. And it kind of made me think that, you just mentioned, you know, Oklahoma State actually plays some defense. This Big 12 has not been a very good defensive league this year as a whole, I don't think. And I'm wondering if you think, will that come back to bite them as a league when they get into the tournament? In other words, like if they come up against some really, like some teams that really get after it defensively, will it be a little bit of a shock to the system, you think, for this league?
No, I don't think so, because, I mean, you say that, and I understand, you know, Kansas isn't the typical defense they have. West Virginia's even fallen off a little bit. But if you look at the numbers, Texas, like, adjusted defensive efficiency on KenPom, which is probably the best way we have of measuring defenses in college basketball. Texas Tech is the third best defense in college basketball. Texas is the eighth best. Baylor's the 16th best. So you have three of the 20 best defenses in college basketball right there. And then, you know, Oklahoma State ranks 60th, but on some nights they look like a top 20 defense. So I don't know that the league's necessarily down. I mean, everybody across college basketball defensively is coming down. You know, it's the highest efficiency mark in years that college teams have put up. So I just don't necessarily see that. I think that you've been tested against some pretty good defensive teams in this league.
Do you like K-State, their matchup against TCU?
I think that's a tough game. I mean, I think TCU is probably the hottest team coming into the Big 12 tournament. I mean, they've won, what is it, four of their last five, I think, and beat some good teams during that stretch. So, I mean, everybody's getting the Big 12, obviously. So, I think that's a tough draw, and probably like a coin flip game, but I'd probably favor TCU a little bit in that one, just the way they've been playing recently.
All right, switching over to the SEC, we've seen Missouri. They've been a streaky team over the past month or so. Well, they had a losing streak, then they had a big winning streak, and then a mini losing streak. But now they've come out of that and got a road win at Vanderbilt, and they look. I went to the game on Saturday. They look really, really good. Their bigs look terrific. That was the best, I think, combo game you saw from Jontay Porter and Jeremiah Tillman together of the whole season. And just their approach and their ability to handle the pressure of Arkansas, it looked like things clicked. And that can happen with the emotion of senior night and everything else. But now they're the 5 seed. They'll play the winner of Georgia and Vanderbilt. They had road wins at both of those schools, and so you like their matchup there. But then if they win that game, then they would play Kentucky on Friday. How do you feel about where Mizzou is as far as seeding right now in the tournament and the draw they got in the SEC tournament?
I don't think it's a terrible draw. I mean, they've already proven that they can beat Kentucky. And, I mean, you said it. When those two big kids play well, they are a different team because, you know, they're so reliant on the three-pointers. But when people have to give their bigs attention, it opens up easier shots for Cassius and Jordan. So, you know, that's huge for them. And I feel like, I mean, Michael Porter Jr., is he going to play, Steven? Is it going to happen?
I don't know. At this point, I know Jontay Porter is going to play, and I'm pretty damn happy with that.
Yeah, and you should be pretty damn happy that hopefully he'll come back next year. But, no, I mean, that's going to kind of throw an interesting little wrinkle into it. Like, I mean, I think if he can play and if he's able, then, yeah, you want to get him out there for the SEC tournament. You don't want his first game being in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I still think that's kind of a coin flip whether he plays. But they could certainly use his use another body right now with losing another guy this weekend in Van Leer. I mean, they could use another body. So that's another team that, like, you could Nate could throw out the same scenario that he just did with Kansas because their depth. So, you know, they have such little depth right now. Like, they could probably use some rest, and I think they're safely in the tournament at this point.
And that was the bad news that came out of Saturday's game, as you mentioned. Cullen Van Leer tears his ACL, so he's out for the year. You know, after all that work and going through the struggles under Kim Anderson and being part of this turnaround, there he is on the verge of being able to play in the NCAA tournament and hurts his knee. And now a thin roster, a thin bench is even thinner for Konzo Martin and Missouri, and so we'll see what happens in the SEC tournament. Before we run out of time, we all talked about really enjoying watching the game yesterday between Cincinnati and Wichita State. Boy, that crowd, that atmosphere just looked terrific. And Wichita State was playing for a share of the conference title, and they would have earned the one seed in the conference tournament because that would have given them the sweep over Cincinnati. But Cincinnati wins at Wichita State, so they finish with a two-game lead in the conference. But that was a hell of a basketball game. So how do you feel about Wichita State now coming out of a different conference? They didn't win it, but they battled, and they came right down to the wire. They had the ball in their hands with a chance to win the conference. How do you feel about Wichita State heading into their conference tournament and then ultimately the NCAA tournament?
They're playing really well recently. The big thing for them, I think, you know, and for a lot of these teams across college basketball, it will be matchups and what kind of matchups they get in the NCAA tournament. They struggle containing dribble penetration, containing like quick guards. So if they get matched up with a team with really good guards, they could be in trouble. Like when Connor Franken's in the game, people just go at him nonstop. And even Landry Shamet has struggled a little bit to contain dribble penetration this year. So, you know, defensively, they're not the same team you usually see out of Greg Marshall coach teams. But offensively, they're really, really good, and they, you know, they play smart, hard basketball. So I think they're good enough to get to a Final Four, but I think it will depend a lot on matchups.
CJ Moore, so you're going to be down at the Big 12 tournament all week long?
I'll be there all week long. Looking forward to it.
You come over to Miller Lite Fan Fest and enjoy some of the festivities with us?
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a circus over there. I'll come say hello.
It'll be a circus because Nate Buchady will be there. But you have an invite, so let us know. We'll be up on stage, and we'd love to hang out. And thank you for all the times you've come on the show this year. And we still got plenty to talk about. But, CJ, thank you so much for the time. We'll see you down there at Sprint Center.
All right, thanks for having me, boys.
That's CJ Moore. Very good follow on Twitter. Jake even said he's thinking about following him. Hasn't done it yet, but I've almost convinced him. CJ Moore Hoops is his handle.
He's on probationary following. I'll follow him for a little bit.
Can I tell you about the Miller Lite Fan Fest, buddy?
Please do.
Is that possible?
What? Yep. Do it.
The Miller Lite Fan Fest.
Who? What?
Presented
when,
by Sports Radio 810 WHB. And again, okay, you can't ease into it on Wednesday.
Nope.
Not this time. Because Iowa State's going to be there. Will they butt heads with Nate Buchady? Sure they will. That's what we do. But it is going to be lit on Wednesday. You've got Bedlam. So, of course, Todd Lebo will be down there screaming at people and all kinds of stuff. He doesn't want to lose Bedlam in Kansas City, does he? Well, maybe he does. I don't know. You can't ever tell with Lebo these days. But the point is, you got Oklahoma State and Oklahoma on Wednesday night.
Oklahoma!
Texas need to win against Iowa State and their fans, so the fans will be on their side. Those six guys at Texas, they can't be louder than all those thousands of Iowa State fans.
Iowa State!
What in tarnation?
And then you better sleep it off, Nate Buchady, because K-State plays the early game on Thursday.
Kansas State!
It's going to be a purple out.
And then Kansas! Take it on the winner of Bedlam. Who do you want?
What'd you say? Your what's out?
It's going to be a purple out.
Well, you're pulling your purple out.
Everything's going to be purple.
It's called a nurple.
It's going to be the purple nurple inside Sprint Center.
Who do you want, Oklahoma State or Oklahoma? Who do you want?
Well, I had said Oklahoma State earlier because I thought Kansas might want a little bit of revenge, but I think C.J. Moore convinced me that it's a better matchup just to play the non-defense play in Oklahoma Sooners.
I don't know what that means. Jake Pounders, who do you want on Thursday for Kansas? Please?
Flip a coin.
I'm not going to flip a coin. I use debit cards nowadays.
I'll take
a little revenge
game against Oklahoma State.
You want a piece Oklahoma State?
Sure. That shot at the Pokes.
Poke them.
You're looking for a poke down there.
Poke them.
Well, yeah. Talk about that as well.
A couple of them.
Yeah.
If possible.
It's none of my business again.
Tiger ears.
My vote is for the Limbo.
I like the dance off.
And some Miller Lite.
Let me tell you something. We have had Travis Kelce take part in the Limbo. We've had Sophie Cunningham take part in the Limbo. We've had, Madonna goes by one name. Pink goes by one name, right, when you're really famous.
Yeah.
Prince. Cher, we have a one-name superstar at Union Broadcasting by the name of Alok. He also took part in the Limbo, but he was disqualified for cheating. And he kept pulling the stick down, like, "Hey, stop it!" And I don't
stop pulling the stick down.
What do I care? But, you know, you have to at least maintain some kind of rules.
Pull it up.
So. Oh, that's, let's see, that's right.
We don't tolerate cheating in the limbo.
Who doesn't?
We.
That depends on who it is. I'll let certain people cheat.
Yeah, there's some cheating going
Thank
on.
You. I believe I've convinced my wife to take part in the limbo.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's going to be part of the festivities. She's always like, boy, stay down there. Just get out of my hair. But now she wants to come down there and have fun. She found out you guys are going to be there.
What day is she coming?
Friday, I think, is her big day.
Oh,
down
okay.
There.
Kelly's coming down on Thursday.
Well, maybe she'll come down Thursday if she knows that
there'll be on Thursday.
Other people besides me to actually talk to. I mean, she's not going down there to hang out with me or talk to me.
Right.
So if I give her some other options.
Yep. Well, Kelly loves hanging out with Susan. So, you know, if they can hang out on Thursday, that'd be great.
Kelly,
I don't think I can.
Kelly like hanging out with Jake?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact,
you gonna be down there on Thursday?
Sure.
You know they're both saints. You know, fellow saints.
Oh, look at you,
Kelly and Jake.
Oh, you get in there and start talking about Aquinas.
Yep, STA.
Met a
whoa,
couple.
Easy.
Of,
I didn't know what you were gonna say.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say ST something else.
No,
hey, no, none of that conversation.
Not anymore.
It's been several years.
Yeah,
since that happened.
That's remission.
15, maybe. Let's. Do you want to say anything or
no?
Kind of, let's leave it at that. Really, after he said that. Back after this on WHB.